Well, as you know, the Alberta Prion Research Institute was set up after the discovery of the first cow in Alberta that had mad cow disease, or BSE. And they decided legitimately, I think, that although they wanted to focus on the science of dealing with these kinds of animal diseases, there were huge social and economic outcomes of these diseases, and that those that aspect also needed to be researched in terms of being able to handle future policy that might come out about these sorts of diseases, or to predict who might be affected. So our project is in the socioeconomic theme of the Alberta Prion Research Institute, and we're looking at a variety of things. We're looking at whether the discovery of the disease in Alberta changed consumers' preferences in Canada about Canadian beef overseas and about meat in general, and specifically within Alberta and also across the country. We're also looking at whether farmer behavior has changed in response to this new and previously unforeseen risk that they are now facing. We're looking at how the markets responded. We're looking at the implications of the border closing and what might have happened if the borders had not closed, and if only some borders had stayed open. We're looking at various forms of risk communication. We've looked at how people responded to the news coverage of the disease, and just a general overview of almost all of the responses. We've also looked at communities in detail. We've targeted three communities, Peace River, Barrhead, and St. Paul, to see what the community at large implications were of the disease rather than just the farmer implications.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff to be looking at. You mentioned farmer attitudes, and I remember when this happened 5.5 years ago, and it seemed like the sky was falling for farmers who were beef ranchers. What exactly did you find at the time?
Well, certainly there is no question that the beef industry took a big hit. Although the beef industry is segregated into different sectors, there are feedlots who buy calves from some cow-calf operators and fatten them up for slaughter, and there are meat processors, and there are also the smaller-scale cow-calf operators. And what we found is, although there was expected to be this huge and prolonged economic devastation, we found that most of the economic devastation seemed to be felt by the cow-calf operators, particularly in Alberta, which has been the focus of our study. And those cow-calf operators faced the most enormous stresses. They had to essentially look at a variety of alternatives to finding income to support their operations. And there also was no market for their animals, so it wasn't possible to slaughter them. They kept them around longer. They had to feed them longer. There were all kinds of economic costs at that level of the market. But in the main, the rest of the economy around them seemed to go on relatively unscathed. And many of the farmers also found that the economic outcomes of the BSE outbreak were, in the grand scheme of things, no more or less than they'd faced from drought in the previous couple of years. And they also faced economic downturns associated with an appreciating Canadian dollar subsequent to the BSE outbreak. And all of these things had negative implications for the farm sector. So BSE ended up being one more, a dramatically and very suddenly very bad incidence for the farm level, but in the grand scheme of things, not as perhaps dramatic as was originally forecast.
How about consumer behavior?
Consumers are very, very strange. There was a lot of discussion at the time, and most of the media coverage of the disease around the finding of this animal and subsequent policy updates were largely about the economic devastation. And clearly the Canadian consumer felt that there needed to be support for farmers. So what happened right after we found this cow with mad cow disease was, for a short period of time, there was a significant increase in beef consumption. It was like people thought they were being loyal if they went and purchased beef at the grocery store. And I don't know if you remember out of those big vans behind the grocery stores where you could get the ground beef. And I think people filled up their freezers, and we actually bought a lot of beef because we had no concerns whatsoever about any human health implication. All of the media coverage was focused on the economic devastation associated with the disease. Our research results have shown in tracking household purchases of beef over since then that there are households that have responded negatively to the finding of more animals with BSE. So as more animals appear, and I think we're up to 14 animals in total now being found within the Canadian herd over 6 years, people are becoming perhaps a little bit more suspicious and are becoming a bit more concerned and changing their consumption patterns. It's interesting, you know, that there are very different segments of the population that are concerned in very different ways about their food. There are differences between the way Alberta viewed it, where there was a large increase in beef consumption, and consumers in Ontario appeared to be a little bit more suspicious, although generally followed the same trends. There's a very small segment of the population appears to have decided enough is enough and become vegetarian, and we're not entirely sure if they've ever gone back to eating beef or not, but they stopped eating meat entirely for a short period of time. We also looked at consumers' behavior in restaurants, and we found that in the main, we didn't stop eating beef in restaurants at all. It was almost, even if we changed our consumption in what we bought for groceries at home, we didn't seem at all concerned about it when we went to McDonald's or A&W or even a fancy restaurant with steak. So we weren't concerned there to the same extent that we were in the grocery store, but even there, we responded immediately positively, and only in subsequent events associated with Mad Cow have we started to show some significant concern.
So does that mean that beef consumption is either equal to or higher than what it was 5.5 years ago?
Unfortunately for the beef industry, there's been long-term declines in beef consumption and increases in chicken consumption. So beef consumption prior to 2003 had been on a sort of a declining trend on a per capita basis. So it seems to have flattened out since 2003. So yes, I guess it's more than we might have expected it to be at this period in time, largely, I guess, because of this rally around supporting the farm community.
So there's other factors at play rather than Mad Cow. It could be other concerns about health and what we're eating, whole lifestyle things.
There are definitely other things. And some of the longer-term trends in beef consumption had to do with the way it was sold in grocery stores, and we didn't have as much product development historically as we did have in chicken, for example. So there were no quick meals with beef. There were no. It was still being sold in large chunks of meat that required a long time to cook, and as women were more in the workplace, they didn't have time for that. They were looking for convenience. There's a whole bunch of trends. And of course, red meat was slammed as contributing to cholesterol in the 80s. And I'm not sure it ever totally regrouped from that. But people are getting more tolerant of those sorts of things, or more discerning. It isn't enough to say, you know, you get cholesterol from red meat and eggs and milk, because we all know that there are other good things you get from those products that we need in our diet. So I think we're having much more discriminating consumers nowadays.
Are Canadian consumers really concerned about Mad Cow?
We don't seem to have much evidence of that. We've done comparisons of Canadian consumers to consumers in the Netherlands, and we've also done comparisons of general populations of Canadians at two points in time. And there are other concerns that seem to be much more strongly felt by Canadian consumers than mad cow disease. Canadian consumers seem very concerned about things like antibiotics in food. The whole trend about buying local and buying natural seems to have its roots in concerns about production practices that might be used on the farm. And that was one place we found that Canadian consumers were different than consumers in the Netherlands. It is that we seem a bit more suspicious about production practices on the farm. We're following up with further research to find out exactly why. But, you know, there's lots of concerns about genetically modified foods and how those encroach on our diets. And that seems to be a much more strongly felt concern than mad cow disease.
How do you bring all of this together so that you can help inform public policy?
Well, we're hoping that that in a couple of ways. Some of the farm-level research that my colleagues are doing, we're hoping will contribute to the design of better insurance programs for farmers against these sorts of risks that are fairly infrequent but can be catastrophic. Avian flu is another one that could devastate an industry overnight if it happened, and we're not sure that we've got the policy framework exactly right for those kinds of disease. So our research should say what kinds of programs are going to be the most beneficial. And in another sense, the government has a great deal of involvement in food safety and quality. And government could be federal government, it could be provincial government. At some levels, it's even municipal government who license restaurants and farmers markets and all of those venues that sell food. And they need to know when they need to be there and when they don't need to be there. They need to know what types of programs need to be certified, what types of concerns consumers have that they should be providing more information about. You know, a lot of my food microbiology colleagues would say most of the food safety concerns in the world can be alleviated if we dealt with food better in the home, once we get it to the home. And I'm pretty sure from my own experience that I'm not perhaps the most clean cook in the kitchen, and there may be some problems there. But that doesn't deny the fact that consumers are concerned about the things that they can't control. They regard themselves as in control of what happens in the home, even if they don't do it right. But they are very suspicious about things that they can't control. Their levels of concern vary across different issues. But I suspect that the Listeria outbreak that has occurred is something that our modeling could provide some kind of expectation about. That seemed to be one that went on. People got very sick from that. People would associate that with the possibility of death, and that will change their perceptions about food safety considerably. We never had any of those inklings that mad cow ever made anybody sick in Canada, and as a result, it's not that serious a concern.
Thank you very much, Ellen.
Thank you.